Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that all of you guys want to hear about. And every time I create a video about this, it seems to go viral. We're going to talk about passive income, how to make more money without doing work.
I would say that's your favorite topic, right?
Well, actually, let's define passive income because it always sounds scammy.
Well, yes, it sounds scammy because it sounds like there's no work involved at all.
Right. Right. So maybe we can compare definitions here first. My definition is making money without actively doing work, meaning you're not trading time for money.
Mine would be similar. I would say it's something that you can set up and it continues to generate income over time, and you don't have to do anything once you have the initial setup.
I mean, not doing anything is also a strong term, I think.
Doing very little.
Because there's maintenance, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, okay. You have to check for stuff. But overall, you could ignore it. Let's just say, you could ignore it for 30 days and it would still make money.
Yeah. Oh, wait, that's a good definition.
Yeah. Like 30, you could go 30 days. You could go live in Italy for 30 days and not check your internet and you would come back rich.
So does that mean... would you consider e-commerce passive income then?
I know very few people, and I'm sure this is the case for people that I don't know, but I know very few e-commerce owners who do absolutely nothing in their business, right?
Or
do
well, that's a 30 what I mean. Day.
Yeah. Like yeah. The only person I can think of that really got to this point that I know well would be Dana Jean Zemis before she sold her company. She basically had herself in a setup where she had jobs that she needed to do once a month. And if it was a job that needed to be done more than once a month, she delegated that out. So she basically made herself a once a month work week, right? So that's like kind of the most passive I've seen someone create. Now I know there's tons of e-commerce owners, probably a lot of people that sell on Amazon, that maybe you have a whole team that is doing this for you. But I feel like the setup is way harder to do something like that versus, let's just say, setting up an affiliate page.
Yeah. I mean, by my definition, e-commerce is passive because you're not directly trading time for money.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the 30-day definition, I guess if you're only selling on Amazon, in theory, I guess you could put 30 days of inventory in the warehouse.
Yeah.
Wait, so do you count, just before we get into the guts, do you count having employees as passive too then?
If you're not managing them. I mean, that's kind of at a level that like the people that are listening are probably not at a level where they have a whole team and a manager and a C-suite where they're just like popping in for board meetings. Like that's not our audience. So,
right. So we're talking about maybe one person businesses here then?
Yeah. One to three, you know, you have a couple of VAs or contractors that help you out.
Okay. All right. So you want to go first?
Sure. So this is a really easy one. And it's one that I've done for a while. I definitely have not done this to the extent that I should. And when I was thinking about this podcast, I was like, oh, I need to get on that. Is you can use affiliate links on Pinterest. So you can actually link directly to an affiliate product from a pin. You don't have to link back to your own website. So if you already have a Pinterest account, you've already been pinning for a while. Most of the people listening probably are doing something with Pinterest because we have talked about it a lot in the past. There's no reason why you shouldn't just create pins that link to products where you earn a commission. Because once you pin them and maybe put them into Tailwind or put them, you know, get them going, you really don't ever do anything with them again. Like that's literally, you never touch them again, right? You just let them go off into the Pinterest ether and earn money. And you'll get, you know, this isn't going to get you rich unless you have a massive Pinterest account, but it will earn you money every single month to buy groceries or put gas in your car.
So you're saying that I could take an image of mm-hmm. something and just point it to various affiliate offers?
Yep.
Does the image even have to do with the affiliate offer itself?
You know, Pinterest does like for things to match up, right? Links and images and titles and things like that. So there is that factor that you want to think about. So let's just say BigCommerce. I know that's a good affiliate for you, or it used to be at least. Maybe you have a pin of, you know, how the pin says something like, get started on BigCommerce for only $29 a month or something like that. That could link directly to an affiliate at BigCommerce. You wouldn't even have to link to a post on your site. You could link directly to BigCommerce. Maybe it's a Amazon product that you love. Now, make sure your Pinterest is registered with Amazon. Obviously, you got to work with all their TOS, but you could link to that. Good example is our friend Laurie at Passionate Penny Pincher. She sells menu plans. I do have pins with her menu plan products that link directly to the products with an affiliate cut. Same with Kelly from Adore Your Wardrobe, like a how to dress course. I have pins that link directly to the course. They don't even go to my website. So you could do it with just about anything.
You know what's funny is, you know, once upon a time, I want to say 5 or 6 years ago, Pinterest was like all the rage. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I don't even hear about it anymore, really. Is Pinterest still big in, you know, just traffic wise? Because I'm not really on it.
It is. Okay. I think that, you know, it went through all these changes, right? Like I think they went public, they did a bunch of different things, they changed a lot of the algorithm. And, you know, a lot of people got fed up with it because it kind of felt like Facebook at that time, you know, when Facebook was like trying all these new things and it was like what worked, didn't work. I think Pinterest kind of went through that same growth phase. And so, but if you just consistently pin on Pinterest, you're going to get traffic. It's going to do well. There are still e-commerce brands that do well on Pinterest. Pinterest ads work for some people. They don't for others. You know, that could be a whole nother episode, but overall, it's definitely something that works and it is a driver of traffic.
I was just thinking, can you do exclusively affiliate pins? Would that work on an account? Cause it's judged by the image, not the where it's linking to, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think you could. You'd have to have good SEO, right? Like your title and description would need to be well written, I think, if you're going to only do affiliate pins. But I think this is something that, you know, we like to talk about sort of diversifying income streams. And this is just one stream that you can. And what I like about it is you can set it up, put those pins out there, and you really don't have to go. You don't even have to update anything. The only thing you would have to do is if, you know, the URL changed the link. And that's when like using a tool like Pretty Links would come in, where it's not actually going to affect all the links that you have out in the internet.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think Pinterest is probably the only platform that you could get away with this with, right?
Yeah, like I don't think on Instagram you could just post affiliates, right? I mean, there's probably people that do, but yeah.
I mean, you can't even really post affiliate links on Instagram, only links in bio, right?
No, you can swipe up in the stories. There's no requirement. Now, the problem, like the thing that I think differentiates Pinterest from a Facebook or an Instagram or even a TikTok is that those sort of disappear after a while, where Pinterest, like the longer stuff sits there, the better it tends to do. So I think that's where, to me, the passiveness comes in. Like you could post something on Instagram and it could do great for the first 2 days and you'd make some money, but then no one's ever going to see it again, right? Like it's not really passive because you're going to have to continue to do that all over and over and over again, you know, to make money.
Yeah, the reason why I mentioned that is like if you tried to do this with blogging, mm-hmm. where all of your posts were affiliate posts, you wouldn't rank anything because Google doesn't like your entire. But on Pinterest, it sounds like you could get away with it.
Yeah, I don't know if I would start my, like if I have zero followers, I don't know how I would start my strategy that way, right? Like I think you need to have some level of following to get going. I don't know how your follower growth would be if you tried that from day one.
Well, what I mean is, do people even look at where the pin's going?
I mean, people that click through, obviously. But if you're very clear about like what it is, then you're not going to, people aren't going to bounce, right? They're going to be like, oh yeah, you sent me to what I was looking at. So I see when I'm on Pinterest, like I like having a link to the, like I hate when I click on something and there's no link to the product, right? Like if I see, I remember when I was looking for a bed for my bedroom, like a bed frame or whatever. And I was on Pinterest, you know, every night just kind of browsing and I'd see something I loved and I'd click over and it would be just like a picture of the bed. And I was like, this is useless to me. Like now I've got to do a Google image search and hopefully it comes up in Google Shopping. Like I want you to send me directly to the bed, send me to the shirt, send me to that item so that I can buy it. Like and people on Pinterest are on there to shop. Like it definitely has a shopping intent. So I think that's why it would work as well.
Yeah. I like this. I mean, affiliate revenue actually is my favorite form of passive income because it allows me to just talk about stuff that I like and use and get paid for it. And the best part is there's no customer support. You don't have to answer any questions about it, right? Because that's the responsibility of the place you're referring to. So I use this extensively on the blog, in my emails, on YouTube. Just the other day, someone asked me what my gear was. And I had, you know, Amazon affiliate links that I guided them to. So you don't even need that much traffic. And you should just kind of get in the habit of just talking about the stuff that you use. It's free money.
Yeah. Okay. So I have to go off on a tangent. Got this ad in my Instagram feed today, this morning, for a, I was thinking about gear, and it was a product called Tentacle. And it was, you know, how they'll do these ads where it shows the guy on Shark Tank. Have you seen the Tentacle one? Get the deal? And is it like something you can buy? I didn't finish watching the whole thing.
Are you talking about like the camera?
It like
pod?
Holds a camera. It holds anything. Yeah. You can pick up a surfboard with it, blah, blah, blah. Like it actually looked kind of cool. I was thinking about like digging into it for like my Amazon videos, because sometimes I need my camera at like a weird angle if I'm showing something like the hands and pans view. But it seemed cool because it was like a tripod, but they were bendy.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you heard of that?
Of course. Yeah. It's been out for a long time, actually.
Okay. I'm behind the curve.
Well, it was called, I think the original person who made it was Gorillapod. You've heard of that, right?
Yeah.
And this is just an extension of that. I was actually tempted to get one too. And then I read all the reviews. Like, it just takes time to bend it exactly how you want.
Okay.
Whereas like a rigid tripod, you just put it down and it's already.
Yeah.
Sorry, straight.
Anyway,
what was the point of this story?
You said gear, and I was like, oh, I meant to ask you. I don't want to forget about this because it looked really interesting to me for gear. I think that's if the affiliate play is a big one too. Obviously, you want to use it in blog posts, emails, things like that. But just setting up a page, like you were talking about a gear, like a resource page on your site.
Yep.
Obviously, you want the affiliate links in your content as well, but you also want like a hub page. We have this on Profitable Audience, but I don't think people can find it because we've had people ask us for it a couple times. And I'm like, I'm pretty certain that I set this up a long time ago.
Put it in the menu. I didn't realize that you had set it up because
So anyway, but yeah, a page of like your most used products, and this could be for any type of website. It doesn't have to be for a, content marketing website. It could be for a gardening website, a financial website, like tools and services you use, credit cards you like, anything, right? It's endless. And if you have a hub, then you can also lead people to your hub, in certain times as well.
Incidentally, that page that you're talking about on my site is one of my highest traffic pages on My Wife Quit Her Job, and is probably responsible for, I want to say, at least a third of the affiliate revenue that I get on the entire site. So this resource, because people want to know what you use, and I get asked this, I can't tell you how many people ask me for shopping cart recommendations, when it really doesn't matter that much in the grand scheme of things, but people always believe that that's like a huge step.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one that I have is just something that I literally just started. Well, I've been doing it for a long time on YouTube, but I just started doing it with the blog, which is just running ads. And I know you've been doing this for what, like 10 years now, maybe
probably
more. Yeah. I'm like 3 months in on the blog ads, and I still have somewhat mixed feelings about it. I don't know why. It's more of a, my buddy who I went to high school with was just like, hey, let me check out your blog again. What was the URL again? And I told him the URL, and then for some reason I was looking over his shoulder as he was browsing it, and I felt somewhat embarrassed.
Because the ads?
All the ads. Yeah.
He have raunchy ads for his targeting? No.
What are you insinuating here, Tony?
Well, it's his browser history, not yours.
I know. But like, there's like this little video playing on the lower right. Because I haven't really gone on my site and looked at all the ads in a while. But that's my only reservation.
But do you feel as embarrassed as you do cashing that check every
month? Well, yeah. See, that's the thing. I mean, yeah.
Flying in your hovercraft purchased with ad revenue. No.
And the email subs had gone down, but then I went and I looked, and it's really, I get most of my email subs from 7 posts on the blog. So if I just turn off ads on those 7 posts. Yeah. So, I mean, overall, I guess money-wise, it's good. Pride-wise, maybe not so much.
You need to do one of those like charts where it's like revenue versus embarrassment and see like where the intersection
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing too. Like I just wrote a book and then people are coming to the site to look at the book, you know, more people are coming on the site basically. And do you want them to come on a site with a bunch of ads? Like,
yeah,
like
how many more money?
Well, let me ask you this. How many authors do you know have ads like plastered all over their site?
I don't have any. Lots, probably.
Really? I was just looking at some of my favorite authors' websites. I just kind of went on them. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really see any ads. But again, this is just an ego thing, really, or a pride thing, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, I obviously still have the ads running. Yeah. So we can tell what's winning here.
So the line graph hasn't reached the the intersection yet.
Well, did you ever have this issue or?
You know, I always sort of gauged it as when I get enough people complaining, I'll make a change. So at one point, and sometimes with ad networks, this isn't as much the case now because you have far more control. Like when I first started running ads, you had basically zero control over where ads were, you know, it was like three placement spots. There was no in content ads that, you know, that didn't exist. Right. And, you know, then they would come up with a new feature. Like I remember when video ads first launched, right, where they would run video ads. And I got a lot of complaints from my readers about them just because they would auto play and things like that. So I ended up shutting them off for like the majority of my site. Cause I was like, you know, it's not worth the complaint and the extra money to have to deal with like, you know, people being mad at me for that. So I just sort of gauged it as when the complaining got to be where it was bothering me, like, okay, this is taking up too much of my time to deal with the complainers. And they have legitimate, like, I find video ads to be annoying too. Like, I understand that. But, you know, and there were, and then it got to be where you had a lot more control over what ads. So things like ads that overlay on images, right? Like, I didn't like those. So I removed those from like certain pieces of content and things like that. So I started controlling it a little bit more just to remove what I thought was annoying, I guess. It's just selfish.
I've never gotten a single complaint. Can you give me an example of what a complaint is?
I really like reading your website, but it's annoying to me when I go and it's really loud and blasting as soon as I type in your URL. Something like that I would get.
Right. But I mean, how many of those would you get?
I got a handful, like when it first started, and I was like, okay, if I'm getting this right now, like, and it is annoying that like, so you can set it, like now you can set it to not autoplay. Like people have to click on it or hover over it to play. I had one ad that was running and it literally on mobile, like you couldn't get to my site. It was made it nearly impossible because the little X to close it out was, you know, basically you couldn't even see it.
Yeah.
So like things like that, like, you know, I turned those things off, but I also have an audience that was probably, you get a ton of traffic from search.
Yeah.
And a lot of my audience was people that like had been reading for a long time. So that, you know, they probably felt like, hey, I don't know if you know this, but X, Y, Z, right? Like kind of like, I clearly have no idea what's happening on my own website. So they were telling me. So yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. And then YouTube, for a while I had that same issue, but you know, I hired a consultant. He was like, everyone expects ads on YouTube now. Like people are at like any YouTube video I click on these days, there's always an ad before I even get to watch the video. So it's part of the experience now. So that's how I justified it there.
I agree. Although I will say I wish I would have saved this video because I was actually going to send it to you. I was watching a video on something and there was an ad, like it felt like every 45 seconds. It probably wasn't, but you couldn't watch the video. Like the ads were so intrusive. It was just like, you know, you'd get to a point and then the ad would come in and it's like, there was just ad. And I was like, I'm not going to watch this guy again. Like, I don't want to, like, I couldn't, it's like, took me too long to get through the video. Like, I don't mind, and ads are fine. Like, I don't mind the ones that come at the beginning. I'll watch them. Like, I don't care. Like, it's not a big deal to me. But, like, in content, when it's like, you know, get to the point, but I'm now on ad number 15 for, like, Strativa or something. And then, of course, I'm like, why do I get targeted with every ad for someone that's, like, 87 years old, right? Like, life alert, you know, all sorts of skin diseases, like, I'm like, I don't want to watch this anymore. I'm depressed.
Yeah, what's funny about that is YouTube doesn't actually place ads wherever you tell it to. And in general, what I found is, because I did an experiment once where I tried to put an ad every minute just to see where I could get away with it. You know, I didn't publish the video, but I watched it myself.
Yeah.
And YouTube really only put the ad like every 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Regardless of how many ads I actually.
And maybe this was a fluke that I saw, but it was like, it was unwatchable. And I don't mind every couple of minutes, honestly, but.
Yeah.
I will say, just like side note on that, your video better be really interesting and give me a lot of information if you want to put an ad in every 2 minutes. Like, I'm not going to watch your wedding dance video if there's an ad every 2 minutes.
I think aggressively, most people who are aggressive with it post an ad every 3 minutes. If you want to be less aggressive, it's like every 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to be aggressive at all, you just have YouTube place it. And it usually puts only like 2 placements in the video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another one, which I think this is another very passive thing. And I think this is one where you can make a full-time income, and that's digital products.
Yep.
Probably my favorite passive stream. And this is anything from, we talk about this a lot, but like ebooks, spreadsheets, workbooks, masterclasses, you could basically turn anything into a digital product. And what is nice about it is, you know, I have these digital products on my site that I made in 2010 and they still get sales. And I literally do nothing to promote. I've literally done nothing to promote them because I need to redo them. So they're just hidden on my, they're not hidden. Like you can find them, but there's nothing promoting them anywhere on the internet, but they still get sales. People still stumble upon them somehow. And to me, that's just, it's such a nice revenue that comes in. And this is where, like, whatever you're an expert in, create a digital product for it. You know, turn it into something where you can sell it. And just, you know, you don't even need it. This is nice too. You don't need expensive like software tools. You don't have to set up a Shopify site. Like you can literally use a plugin on WordPress and get your digital products up. You know, and you could have a digital product up in a week. Easy.
You know what? I was just chatting with our buddy Scott Volker. And, you know, he gives these workshops like I do.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually has them evergreen for purchase on his site.
Okay.
And he says he actually gets a bunch of sales from that. So maybe something, I've been using the workshops to promote the book lately, but obviously that's going to come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this past one was probably the last time I'm going to do it. But I was thinking maybe I just put my workshops as a digital download on the site evergreen. And people, you know what's really funny about a book? This is just an aside. There's this one lady that said, "Hey, I'm not interested in your book, but can I just buy your workshop?" And I was thinking to myself, I used to charge $97 for the recordings for this, right before I had the book. And you're balking at a $14 ebook. Right?
Yeah.
So psychologically, just because you don't want anything, even though it's, you know, 1/6 the price or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get why she says that, because it's like, I used to be the person that was like, oh, well, if I buy this and I get this, then I'll buy that. But I'm so sick of things that I don't want. Like, not your book would not be one of them. But like, it's like, if I don't want something, I will pay more to get the thing that I want over. It's just like, because I don't want to have to deal with that, because that thing will be in my house. It'll move it around. It'll clutter up my computer, whatever.
But it's an ebook.
Yeah, it'll live on my computer. My computer will crash because I use too much memory. Like,
okay.
Like, I've really tried lately to like cut back on the things that I don't need, because it's like, I feel like so much of our lives is spent organizing our crap, right? Whether it's digital stuff, stuff in our houses, stuff in our cars. It's like, it's just a constant fight to like stay on top of that. And so I've gotten to the point now where it's like, do I really, really, really need this? And if the answer is even like, like I'm not going to do it.
I can see that. But what if the item is like directly related to what you're trying to
learn? It does seem weird that she didn't want to buy the book, she just wanted the course. But I will say, like, I've been to so many of your webinars. You do teach a ton. Like, your book isn't really teaching. It's more of a higher level.
It's more of like a way of thinking about it, mindset thing that kind of goes hand in hand with it.
Yeah,
but anyways,
your
just thought that was
the mindset. The course is the how-to. And she probably just was like, I already have the mindset. I just want the how-to. I don't know. I mean, I it seems weird, but I do kind of get where she's coming from.
But I agree with you. Digital products are fantastic. I just haven't leveraged it as much as you have.
But see, you could totally You could totally do, like, I think we should do this with our webinars too. I think we should put them for sale.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. It's
kind of a no-brainer of, like, we're already set up to sell stuff. So it's not like...
We are. And we have different tiers.
Yeah.
Unlimited tiers, in fact.
Unlimited. Unlimited. yeah. What else you got?
Okay. So the next thing that I consider semi-passive is running an online course. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why I say semi-passive is because the courses that we run together are a lot more hands-on. Because we actually want people to be successful. But if you don't care
about people's success, here's how you can make money.
I've taken a number of classes where you literally just get pointed to a repository of videos and then you're done.
Yeah.
And for those are 100% passive.
And you know what's nice about them, because you know I'm working on a course right now, and it will be more passive than this, but still have a little bit more activeness in it. Our friend Andrea just bought a course on YouTube. And it was, you know, probably under $100, I think. But it was completely passive, right? Like the person who wrote the course had no involvement. And she learned two things in this course that she did not know. Like there were two lessons that she felt like were highly valuable. And let's just say there were 20 lessons total. She's overly satisfied, right? Like, and one of the lessons was an equipment setup lesson. And basically, like, this is everything. This is exactly how it's set up. This is exactly. And I was like, you know, we have that in our course, by the way, but that you have access to. But
actually, why did she buy that course? I'm a little insulted now.
I was too, but I was insulted as well.
I can't tell you how much research, how many mastermind groups, everything. Yeah.
So we do have that in our course, guys, just so you know, it's available step by step. But she felt so much value. So I think when people are thinking like, oh, I don't have enough information to teach a course or whatever, like people only need to get like one or two pieces of value out of a course that's lower priced to feel overly satisfied by it. You don't need to think like, oh, I changed somebody's life with a $47 course or a $97 course. You can change somebody's day and they're happy. So think about that as a definite passive income stream, because you can just put it on your site, advertise it on your site, right? Put a button on your site or a banner, however you want to do it, put it in your email funnel. And, you know, as long as you're creating valuable content, it doesn't have to be the encyclopedia of it. It just needs to give people a couple takeaways. They're going to be very happy with your course.
I agree if it's cheap.
Yeah. Can't do this for $1,000 course.
Correct. Yeah. If it's like a $100 course or $300 course, yeah, what you're saying is absolutely correct. The next passive income source that I've seen work really well with a bunch of my friends are just membership sites. Mm-hmm. And specifically membership sites where it's really the community that's kind of driving it, right?
Yeah.
One of our mutual friends in particular, I think, does a very good job of this. Andrew Udarian of eCommerce Fuel. Mm-hmm. To the point where I always message him.
No, he does nothing. No, I'm just kidding.
I always message him. I'm like, hey, so what does your day-to-day look like? He's like, you know what, Steve? I actually work a good solid 40 hours a week, sometimes 50. I'm like, what? How is that possible?
His forums are very high-tech, like as far as the abilities to do things. But yes, you can definitely create a membership site where the community drives it and earn some nice passive income.
I mean, where is this? I mean, he has Patrick do all the technical stuff.
Correct.
So it always just makes me wonder, you know?
Maybe you should shadow him for a day.
I should shadow him. But didn't you say you found a, what was it, like a daffodils membership site
or
something?
It's orchids.
Orchids, sorry. Yeah. Orchids.
$5 a month, 60,000 members.
Our mutual friend, Aaron and Jim, are they still doing $5
meal plans? That's not quite as passive because you do have to create meal plans. Neither of them are creating them anymore, obviously. But membership sites, if you can get the community to fuel it, are great sources of passive income. I will say to start it and to get it going, it is a lot of work. So you have to be willing to put in the front end of it. But then it can just... generate its own, you know, generate its own content. Someone who does this, who has a very successful group is Ezra and Molly.
Yep.
So they have a group on, I think it's like Facebook ads or something with marketing, right? Paid advertising. And they charge several hundred dollars a month to be in this group. And from, I'm not in it, but from what I've heard, they are actually rarely in it. So I don't think they do a whole lot of work at all with this group today. They probably did in the beginning, but it's generating a significant amount of revenue, and they're not doing anything at all in it basically anymore.
Hmm. Yeah. Did you want to go next? I got another one.
So this is an interesting one, and you know, this is doesn't apply to everybody, but I think it could be something interesting. Is and we do this with Seller Summit is we sell the audio recordings, which is a truly passive income. So we sell the recordings from all of the sessions. Now they're also audio and video for Seller Summit, but you could sell audio or video recordings of anything that you do as passive income. And like with the Seller Summit things, like we do absolutely nothing for that. Like they're set up, what we have the videos, obviously like they're edited and stuff and ready to go. But once they're done, we don't touch those, and those make money. Now they're not generating millions of dollars, but we also don't promote them really very much after the sell. Like we promote them over the summer and then we kind of let them go. Cause some of the stuff doesn't, because some of the stuff is so relevant in timing. It's not always relevant 5 years later, but we still sell recordings all throughout the year.
Yeah, absolutely. The one I was thinking of, which I thought you were going to mention is, putting ads in your emails.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen, who knows, I might start doing this now, but a bunch of people who I've talked to recently with reasonable sized email lists, you can actually charge a lot of money for a company to get inside your email list. And it's not even like the topic of the email. It's literally just like at the bottom.
Yeah.
There's a mention of the company, and you can charge like 120 CPM for that ad, which basically means you get $120 for every 1,000 people that open that email.
Yeah. I will say that that's not passive enough for me.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It just depends. Like, because I think it can be passive, right? If you create a form on your site, people can buy advertising. You could set it up to be pretty passive, but a lot of times it sort of ends up like a brand deal, right? Where you end up going back and forth with the company. I know you've had some issues making sponsored YouTube videos where, you know, it's like they don't
ever again.
That, yeah. Like it can get really hairy. So if you're going to do something like that, which I do think it's a great way to make money, kind of set it up as self-service where the brand doesn't get to go in and like, you know, do this, do that. You know, you've got to get all that, you know, kind of negotiated before they even talk, like before you even have a conversation, make that very clear. And then it can be passive, but don't go in thinking like, oh, people can just buy advertising. Cause then you end up like being a slave to that person and that becomes a pain and not passive.
I can see that. Yeah. What I was envisioning here was you enter in a form, you specify exactly what you want to write. That goes verbatim, cut and paste into the email.
Yeah.
Video, there's just too many variables. Yeah. Like, I didn't like the way you phrased that, or I didn't like...
Our legal says you can't say our name and this name in the same sentence. And yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I do think if you have a form and you have it self-serve, do it all day long, right? Because you could also, the other thing you could do is like, we reserve the right to reject any advertising, then you just don't bill them, right? Like, so you protect yourself against, you know, if a brand comes through and you're like, there's just no way. Like, I'm sure if certain email service providers wanted to advertise in your newsletter, you would say no.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
For
but
sure.
But if you do a form and kind of self-serve it, then that's pretty simple to control it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. What else you got?
Let's see. I'm trying to think. I mean, I feel like so much of what we do is passive, but at the same time, so like one of the things kind of on the sell your recordings is like doing something with like a Patreon site, right? So it's like content you've already created, but you split it and like some of it's gated and some of it's not. It's similar to like a membership site. But usually I think that the thing that's with some of these passive incomes, which makes them appealing, is that they're not, you don't charge people a lot of money for them. So it's kind of a no-brainer to sign up. One of the things I just signed up for a couple weeks ago was Shalene Johnson's workouts. So she charges, so she charges $5 a month for her workouts, and her, they're actually like, if you're looking for like, if you're a little bit older and you want like workouts that are good, once you're like, you know, your bones and stuff are changing a little bit, hers are really good because she's in her mid 50s. And the nice thing about her workouts is that she actually shows you like the correct form and stuff, how to do them. And they're all things you can do at your house with like minimal weights and equipment. So I think it's like a, and of course she obviously has the background to do this, right? It's not like she's just a random person telling you how to work out, but, it, like at $5 a month, I was like, and you can cancel anytime. It was a no brainer to me. I was like, yeah, I'm curious about her workouts. I want to see what she does. I know she's got some great like core workouts. And so I wanted to see exactly what she was doing. And I probably will keep paying for it because I actually think her workouts are pretty decent. And her style of explaining it is really good. Cause sometimes you get workouts and they don't tell you exactly how to do the exercise. But at $5 a month, like people aren't going to cancel even if they're not using it.
So are there new workouts added every week or?
But there's no like rhyme or reason to how she adds them. Right. So it's not like you get it like, cause here's the thing with workouts, right? Like if she does a leg workout, you could in theory do that workout twice a week, right? Every week and be have success. Right. And then you could do one of her other workouts twice. Like you could, so she has like probably 10 or 15, probably 15 or 20 in there right now. And so she does add them, but it's not like new workout on Monday. It's kind of like, I think whenever she thinks, you know, whenever she thinks to film herself at the gym, she does this. Cause the videos aren't professional at all. They're like her phone up on leaning up against something, which is fine. Right. Like, I think that's genius because it's like, you're already working out, you're already doing something. She's just filming it and she's redoing it. You know, she's redoing the extras a couple times to show you like form. But yeah, I mean, at $5 a month, it's kind of a no brainer.
I bet her videos are super entertaining too.
Great. Like her workout videos are pretty like, you know, this is X called XYZ. This is how you do it. Make sure your back isn't arched, blah, 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 you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think that's, to me, that's like that $4.99 or $9.99 is like, if you have a big audience, like, I don't know, understand why anybody who's got a million followers on Instagram doesn't have some sort of $5.99 subscription.
You know, what's funny is whenever we have these talks, I start thinking,
you're like, and why am I not doing all these things?
Well, you know, part of it is just laziness and priorities, right? Like I really should list those workshops for sale.
Yeah.
We really should list our workshop for sale. We should probably list our old Seller Summit archives for sale somewhere. Like if someone wants to buy like a past year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be a lot of money, but.
Yeah. And there's still like some of that content does not change, right? Like the only
thing that really changes, evergreen.
Yeah. It's only the ad stuff that's like, that's probably the only thing that really changes over time. But everything else is still really solid information.
Yeah. So we should probably just take a solid month or so and
just
you know,
work
kind
on
of scrape up like the low hanging fruit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. If you, okay. So here's the question.
Yeah.
People are listening. They're like, okay, we've given them like 15 ideas. What would you do first?
Out of all those?
Yeah.
Give me more information about my situation. Am I starting from scratch?
You have a website, you have some traffic.
I have some traffic affiliates all the way.
Yeah. I think so too.
I think affiliates are the number one most profitable way to make money, you know, with whatever you got in the beginning. I do have mixed feelings about like the long-term aspects of affiliates because, I mean, I have tons of stories where I spent all this time promoting an affiliate and then they were like, oh, okay, well, we're canceling our affiliate program.
Yeah.
But I think if you're just starting out and you just want to make some passive income, affiliates is probably the best way to start.
And I think that the way to think about this in general, like I agree with you, I would definitely start with affiliates. The way to think about it in general is that whenever you're taking the time or the effort to create something, think about how that thing that you just created could make you passive income, whether it's tweaking it a little bit so that you can add some more affiliates, whether it's, hey, this could launch into a digital product. Oh, this might be better off as a course. Like kind of like how we have all these like webinars, right? That they're just sitting there, not making any money. It's like when you do something like take the extra, honestly, 30 minutes, 45 minutes to do something, it's like, well, if you spend 45 minutes in over a year, it's going to make you $5,000 or $10,000. It's like, when you look at it that way, it's kind of silly to not take the next step.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.